Hey there, freedom-loving carnivores. It's Jeff Dornick from Freedom First Network, and I've got a message for you. Are you tired of feeling like your beef choices are under siege? Well, fellow patriots, it's time to fight back with Prepper All Naturals. That's right, folks. In a world where the beef industry is under constant attack, Prepper All Naturals is here to stand tall and proud as a veteran-owned beacon of quality, taste, and freedom. When the guys at Prepper All Naturals set out to provide you with the finest beef products, they knew they had a duty to defend America's beef legacy, and that's why we're proud to partner with them, bringing you the best of what this great land has to offer. Whether it's their succulent freeze-dried beef cubes or their premium freezer boxes packed with steaks and roasts, we're redefining what it means to enjoy beef today and tomorrow. And let me tell you, folks, their freeze-dried beef isn't just delicious, it's built to last. With proper stores, their beef cubes can maintain their quality and freshness for up to a decade, ensuring you'll never have to compromise on taste or nutrition. But wait, there's more. They're not just in the business of selling beef. They're in the business of defending freedom. That's why they promise to never sell you anything less than 100% all-American natural beef. No lab-grown imposters, no experimental jabs, and certainly no compromises with the woke agenda. So, fellow beef enthusiasts, join us in our mission to protect America's beef legacy. Visit freedomfirstbeef.com and use code FFN for 15% off your order. Because when you choose Prepper All Naturals, you're not just eating well today, you're eating well tomorrow. And together, we'll ensure that beef remains a symbol of freedom for generations to come. Prepper All Naturals, where beef meets freedom.
We knew each other by phone and text a full year before we ever met, because we were both being put to the test in the same federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. And I can tell you, this guy is tough. Yeah, he pled guilty because they threatened to indict his son. Right. That's how vicious these Mueller thugs are. But at the end of the day, Mike Flynn decided to fight, and he fought for his life, and he won. And I know he would fight for this country that way. So I would seek to draft General Flynn for the Republican nomination. I've talked to him about that. You know, he doesn't feel a burning need to be president. That's precisely why I'd like him to be president.
There you go. That's probably his best quality.
I don't want a person who has to be president because they want to be somebody. I want a candidate who wants to be president because they want to do something. And I would seek to draft him for the presidency in the event that Donald Trump does not run. I have seen him out on the hustings campaigning for election integrity. I saw him campaigning for the president's reelection. I've gotten very close to he and his entire family. These are some of the finest patriots, the finest people that you can imagine. They're just really fine people. And like me, General Flynn is deeply concerned at what he sees going on in Washington, where essentially the U.S. Constitution is being suspended. And our institutions like the Department of Justice and our court system are being used now politically to harass citizens who don't agree with Joe Biden's political narrative. I would seek to draft General Flynn, and I think I would be successful at that.
You know, in American politics, there are those who go out and they run for election and they do this and do that. And there are those who actually work from, you could say, behind the scenes, the people that actually work with politicians, work with businesses, work with foreign powers, and try to exact change in America that is beneficial. In many ways, these men are often more powerful than the politicians themselves. And I would say one of those men that falls into that category, who's been doing it for decades, is Mr. Roger Stone. We are very blessed, pleased, and honored to have Mr. Stone with us today. Roger, how are you doing, sir?
JD, I'm delighted to be with you. You know, any day is a good day for me, any day that I'm above the ground. But only through the grace of God am I here with you today. And I'm back on the ramparts fighting the fight for freedom, because, as you know, I was subjected to a Soviet-style show trial, and I was supposed to have died in a federal prison by now. That was really the plan. So I thank Jesus Christ that I'm here, and I'm back on the fight to help make America great again.
Well, that's a good place to start, because I want to, you know, I know a lot of people will lead their interviews by talking about the controversial topics. I want to go straight to the most important topic right now, which I think to me and I think to my audience will be the Stone Legal Defense Fund. I want to talk about that because you're facing attacks from everywhere. And I think that it's important that we make sure everybody's aware that you need help, that they have done everything they can do to destroy you. And you have not been destroyed, but you do need help. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I think this is the bloodlust that is generated on the American left by Donald Trump's enormously courageous act to pardon me when he recognized that I was the t- target of a politically motivated witch hunt, that I didn't break any laws, that they fabricate charges of lying to Congress. Yet on November 3rd, 2020, at the stroke of midnight, on the busiest media day of the year, the U.S. Justice Department is forced by court order to release the last remaining unredacted section of Robert Mueller's secret report, which shows that he never had any, quote, factual evidence, close quote, that I had colluded with the Russians, collaborated with WikiLeaks, or any involvement in the phishing and publication of John Podesta's epically embarrassing emails. So what then was my motive to lie? What crime could I have been lying to cover up? You see, it had the judge given us this information as we requested to my defense attorneys, it would have collapsed their entire fraudulent prosecution of me. Thank God that the Lord answered my prayers, giving Donald Trump the strength and the courage in an election year to pardon me. But the backfire from that in terms of the hatred and the loathing of the American left, you know, my wife was attacked last Christmas outside our home by some lunatic, politically motivated, screaming, you know, your husband's a Russian spy. I've been subjected to 17 individual harassment lawsuits. These are baseless. They're groundless. They're unsubstantiated, but they're always sensationalized. I mean, they read like a press release. That's because they're devoid of any evidence or proof. President Trump and I are being sued by a group of Capitol Hill police officers, but the lawsuit is really being propped up by a George Soros funded group called Lawyers for Civil Rights Under the Law. Not. It's harassment, what they call lawfare. The idea is to drag your name through the mud yet again and grind you down with endless legal fees. In my fight for freedom, I lost everything. I could have cooperated with Mueller. They probably would have double crossed me the way they did Michael Cohen, but I never even considered it. They wanted me to lie, even though I had already passed three polygraph tests proving that there was no Russian collusion and that I never discussed WikiLeaks with Donald Trump or anyone in his campaign. So I didn't take the easy way out, and it cost me everything, my home, my savings, my insurance for 18 months, my ability to make a living because I was unconstitutionally gagged. And I really hadn't recognized how difficult the cancel culture, the deplatforming, the censorship was going to make a comeback most difficult. Financially, it has been a struggle, not only to find a platform for my voice, because I make a living speaking and writing. That's what I do when I'm not doing strategy for political candidates or causes that I believe in. And if you don't enter a defense, you don't mount a defense in these lawsuits, no matter how phony, no matter how baseless, well, then they get massive default judgments against you. You see that going on with Alex Jones today. So, yes, I do need help. Lawyers are expensive. People can go to stonedefensefund.com. This I can promise you. I will never settle. I will never admit to doing something I haven't done. And I will fight until I win every battle, God willing.
The current administration is spending tax money like crazy. And guess who pays the bill? That's right. You, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more in taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you with the full might of the IRS to collect payments. The government has even hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know, you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call the tax doctor today. They have saved their customers millions of tax dollars. One quick free phone call will show you how they can reduce your past tax bill and possibly save you thousands of dollars. Guaranteed. Or you pay nothing. Call now for a completely free consultation. Tell them J.D. Rucker sent you. I tell them I told you to call, and they will waive their initial $500 review fee. Just call 1-800-366-6918. That's 1-800-366-6918. 1-800-366-6918.
God willing. And we definitely know, listen, my audience is very, very clued into what's actually happening with the police state that they're forming, the deep state that has been controlling so much, the swamp, as we've called it so many times. President Trump and you have been warriors. And as a result, you know, this cabal of powers has gone after you. So I do strongly encourage our viewers and listeners to go to stonedefensefund.com, contribute what you can, because this fight isn't over. We still have a country to save, and they're trying to take out our best fighters, and Roger Stone is among them. Another person who is fighting, you know, fighting in a different way, we'll say, is somebody that he's become very popular on the right in many ways. You have actually gone against him. I wouldn't say against him, but you have prodded him. You have challenged him. You have told Florida Governor Ron DeSantis that if he does not play ball, if he does not, you know, do the things that the people want him to do, that you will run against him again for governor. Now, in the recent weeks and shortly after you made your requests, we'll call them. I don't want to say threats. They were, we'll call them, very strongly worded requests that he tackle certain issues. Lo and behold, he has. Why don't you tell us about some of those things that he's done lately?
Sure. You know, look, I have no illusions about being elected governor of Florida. Let's be clear about that. On the other hand, Ron DeSantis needs to not just talk the talk, he needs to walk the walk. So he goes to Las Vegas, where they have essentially a cattle call, kind of an audition for the presidential nomination, which of course will only happen if the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln decides not to run again, because that's who I'm for, Donald Trump. And he says, we have a mask mandate ban in the flare. We will not allow our school children to be forced to wear masks. Well, unfortunately, that's not actually true. In the 10 largest counties in the state, the local school boards are thumbing their nose at the state law and at Governor DeSantis' policy, which is the correct one. And they're forcing children, particularly in elementary school and middle school, to wear masks. 1.6 million children still being required to wear masks in Florida. Now, to his credit, as soon as I said that, the governor announced a new policy. So there's an opt-in and opt-out for the masks. Which I applaud him for. He's now actually doing what he said he was going to do. I'll give you another example. There's 1.6 million phantom voters on the Florida rolls. How do we know this? You take those who just exercise their vote through mail-in ballot. You go to 10,000 of those households and you knock on the door. What you will find is that in 20% of the cases, there is no such person. It's a vacant lot. The person is deceased. The person once lived there, but they've moved out of state. Or the person never existed to begin with. They're registered at a commercial address. And there's no one there by that name. Now, the governor says that we just had the cleanest election in our history. I don't believe that. I think Donald Trump won Florida so big that they didn't steal enough to beat him. But the real danger is that these phantom voters are still on the rolls. Now, the governor needs to remove them. Within hours of my saying that, the governor announced the creation of a new Office of Election Integrity to investigate and prosecute exactly the kind of voter fraud and phony registrations I'm talking about. So kudos to Governor DeSantis. Just as he has an opt-in and opt-out system for masks, or I guess it's an opt-out system for masks in the public schools, he's now cleaning up the voter rolls. Step in the right direction. Thirdly, I called on him because he appointed as sheriff of the largest county in the state, where the sheriff's department has 6,000 employees. This is the largest police force in the United States, by the way, a man who we now know is a murderer and a drug dealer, things that the Florida Department of Law Enforcement never picked up when they did a background check on Sheriff Gregory Tony of Broward County. I called on the governor to discharge him, fire him, just like I called on him to fire the school board members instead of fining the counties. You see, when the counties refused the mask mandate ban and went ahead and masked the children, the governor's reaction was to fine the counties. Well, the county just passes those financial fines on to the Biden administration, and the children are still being required to wear masks. to his credit, the governor is now fixing that with an ability where parents can opt out by simply saying, no, I don't want my children to be required to wear masks. So on two issues, the governor's moved my way. Then yesterday it was announced that he had moved the investigation into the epically corrupt Broward County Sheriff away from the left-wing prosecutor in Broward County who refuses to bring charges over to another prosecutor in West Florida who presumably will have no such qualms about prosecuting those who lie about their background and aren't qualified for one of the most important law enforcement offices in the state. So on three out of three issues, I called out the governor, and to his credit, on all three, he has taken my advice. If this continues, I will strongly support his reelection. However, if he thinks he's going to use the governorship of Florida as a stepping stone to challenge Donald Trump, he better think again. Here's why. First of all, his reelection is not a lead pipe cinch by any means. Florida is not a blue state and it's not a red state. It's a purple state. It swings. And as you know, in the last election, Ron DeSantis won by a hair, only because Donald Trump, who elevated him from being an obscure backbench congressman who no one ever heard of, to being the nominee for governor, only because he had the endorsement of Donald Trump, to then a very close photo finish in the general election, which President Trump had to come to Florida twice in the last 2 weeks to drag Ron across the finish line. So anyone who thinks 2022 will be a walk for Ron DeSantis, who is very popular, popular in my own family, popular in my own home, doesn't really understand how close this election will be. That's why the governor must get this 1.6 million fake voters off of our rolls, or they'll be used to defeat him and all the other Republicans. And secondarily, he needs to think twice about challenging Donald Trump, because if he doesn't have the enthusiastic campaign support of the president in 2022, there's no guarantee that he will win. Charlie Crist is a very formidable campaigner. He lost the governorship last time by 1 point against Mr. Personality, Rick Scott. I mean, Charlie Crist, say whatever you want, he's a great politician. Now, he doesn't believe in anything. Charlie the Chameleon, he used to be Chain Gang Charlie, the Reagan Republican. Now he's Charlie the Obama Democrat. But he's charming. He smiles. He says thank you. He looked you in the eye. All the things that Ron DeSantis doesn't do.
I have a similar situation out here in California with Mr. Gavin Newsom, who I swear his only talent is getting elected. He's never been actually able to be a good leader or enact any good policies. Well, I'm reminded
of the story about the three guys who die and go to hell. One is from New York, one's from Florida, and one's from California. They see a red telephone and they say to Satan, what's that? He says, oh, you can call home anytime. It's very expensive. So the guy from New York says, well, I want to call New York City. Satan says, help yourself. Guy calls, talks for an hour. Devil says, that'll be $1 million. Guy writes a check, gives it to Satan. Then the guy from Florida says, wow, that's cool. I want to call Miami. Satan says, help yourself. Guy dials a Miami number, talks for an hour. The devil says, that'll be $1 million. Guy writes a check, hands it to him. Then the guy from California says, wow, that's really cool. I want to call San Diego. Devil says, help yourself. Guy calls San Diego, talks for 2 hours. The devil says, well, that'll be $12. Well, the man from New York and the man from Florida say, hey, what's the story? And he said, don't you understand? Since Gavin Newsom became governor of California, the state's gone to hell. So it's a local call.
Nice, nice. And it is true. Look, we're trying to fix things out here, but I don't know. I want to focus today on Florida because it's good to hear what you said. You're actually the first person who has said that I've interviewed, who has said and agreed with one of my theories. I want to run this by you real quick. Okay. I'm sure you already know it. You probably heard it from other people, but I think that our audience needs to hear this because people keep asking, why do we want to audit Florida? He won Florida. Here's why. He won Florida because, as Roger said, you know, he won it overwhelmingly. But I want you to think back to election night. On election night, even though it seemed clear that he was going to win, nobody, not Fox News, not ABC, not CNN, nobody was willing to call Florida. My theory is this, is that they knew, they were told by the powers that be, the people who were running the election fraud, there's that, like, guys, we're throwing everything we can at Florida. We got to try to win Florida. Don't call it yet. We're looking for ballots here. We're looking for ballots there. We think we can overcome it. And then as the night finally kept progressing and Trump's lead kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, they finally were like, man, what are we going to do? All right, I guess here, let's go after Arizona, Pennsylvania. Had they gotten Florida, then a lot of this voter fraud that they had to stick their neck out for, they wouldn't have needed, because Florida would have locked it in for them. But when they couldn't get Florida, they finally acknowledged. I think that the most voter fraud in the country happened in the state of Florida, and it still wasn't enough to beat Donald Trump. What do you think of that, Roger?
I agree with your theory. First of all, there's a couple of things that would be unforeseeable. That Donald Trump would essentially come out of Miami-Dade County even. No Republican has ever done that, ever in the history of the state. This is a county, I think the largest or second largest in the state, that you'd be happy to win 60-40. If you won 60-40 and you got the normal Republican vote out every place else, you'd probably still win statewide. Because of his strong support in the Cuban American and Venezuelan American communities, and because socialism was up front and center in the last election, Donald Trump came out of the Democratic stronghold essentially even, fought them to a draw. There's no question, because of the law of mathematical probability, if you take 10% or even 20%, but just 10% of those who voted by mail, and you go canvass them door to door, and 20% of them don't exist, then you can extrapolate that there were at least 1.6 million people who voted who weren't real. But guess what, liberals? It wasn't enough. Trump won so big that it did not tip the state to them. So Ron DeSantis, caveat emptor, dude, they're going to use these votes against you if you don't get them off the rolls. I'm a big fan of a group called Defend Florida. They've done an incredible job of doing a reverse canvass on the last election. It's not that we want to audit the election to try to overturn the results. We want to audit the elections to cleanse our voters list so they're limited to those who only legitimately exist and are eligible to vote in the Sunshine State.
That is so crucial for our audience and everybody in the nation to understand, because here's the thing. We're not just trying to relitigate to correct the 2020 election. I think that that's important. We still fight for that, okay? We really do. But we also have to look to the future. We also have to prevent what happened in 2020 from ever happening again. If we do not, we don't have a country. I also want to go back to what you said as far as, yes, Florida is definitely a purple state. A purple state that adores Donald Trump, but that doesn't necessarily translate over, as we've seen, to them adoring Ron DeSantis. The Democratic Party has essentially announced recently that they're really not even going to try. They're not going to be spending a lot of money in Florida. My theory is that they're lying, that they're trying to make us complacent. They're trying to catch us off guard. They're trying to get everybody saying, oh, don't worry. You know, DeSantis doesn't need any help. You know, he's got it locked in. And then they want to ram it, you know, the last month, 2 months before the election, they want to ramrod every ounce of Soros and Zuckerberg money that they can and everybody else. And they're going to try to do everything they can to slay the beast of Ron DeSantis. What do you think of that theory?
Well, look, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we know that the supervisor of elections appointed by Ron DeSantis in Palm Beach County secretly took $6.8 million from Zuckerberg. She didn't tell anybody about that. She was using it for election integrity. No, she was using it to steal votes. They're going to put $1 billion in dark money into this state. They're already running very aggressive voter registration programs. And ironically, we're not only keeping a pace of them, but as of this moment, today, right now, there are more registered Republicans in the state of Florida than there are registered Democrats. That has never happened in the history of this state. Never. So this is ground zero. They must have Florida in order to win the next election. And they know it. And they're going to throw $1 billion at Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis needs to recognize that. But more importantly, I don't think it's fair to the voters of Florida to get reelected in 2022 and then leave immediately to launch a campaign for president. Now, I've been in 11 presidential campaigns, starting with Richard Nixon, through three campaigns for Ronald Reagan, certainly one of the greatest presidents of my lifetime. Proud of my service for Senator Bob Dole, a great American patriot. And of course, wanted Donald Trump to run for president in 1988, 2000, 2012, and then finally 2016. Let's be very clear. If you're running for president in 2024, you've got to start right after the elections in 2022. So it's unfair for the governor to use Florida as a stepping stone, particularly if he's going to challenge Donald Trump. He owes his election to Donald Trump. And therefore, the question here is one of loyalty. It's one of fealty. It's a character question. I think it would be extraordinarily duplicitous and disloyal for the governor to run off, leave the people of Florida in the lurch, and run off and run for president and challenge Donald Trump. Now, if the president doesn't run, if he elects not to run, well, Ron DeSantis would probably still not be my choice. The governor can run at that point, but I do think he has to be honest with the voters of Florida in 2022 when he runs for re-election, at least say to them, I may not actually fill all 4 years of the term that I'm asking you to vote for me for. And that's a very tough position. There was a guy named Nixon, ran for governor of California in 1962 in preparation for his political comeback in 1964. Didn't work out too well. Ultimately, he did come back in 1968. So that was almost 8 years later. But I think it's important if you want to run for re-election as governor of Florida, you have to do that job that you're asking people to vote for you for. I just asked for a Freedom of Information Act request to find out how many days the state airplane that the governor flies in is outside the state. I'd like to know how many days he's spending on the job here in Florida and how many days he's spending out raising money for a future presidential bid outside the state. I think the people need to know that. Governor DeSantis is the first governor in modern history who does not publish a daily schedule until the end of the day. And even then, when he does publish it, he only says those official duties that he's engaged in. So if he goes out of the state, and technically the lieutenant governor would be governor at that time, he doesn't announce that. And therefore, the voters don't know that. I want to see how many days he's spending on the job in Florida and how many days he's spending outside the state running for president.
In a digital age where freedom of speech is at stake, a new dawn is rising. Introducing Pickaxe, the social media platform that stands for constitutional free speech. In quarter one of 2024, Pickaxe will be your platform to voice your thoughts, opinions, and beliefs without fear of censorship. Unlike big tech, Pickaxe empowers you with algorithms that work for you, ensuring that your content reaches those who value your perspectives. And for the content creators who drive conversations, Pickaxe offers monetization opportunities that support your passion while you speak your truth. Join a community that opposes big tech censorship, cherishes the values of America, and celebrates the freedom to express ideas, regardless of their popularity. Navigate with ease, connect with like-minded individuals, and embrace a social media platform that's as unapologetically American as you are. Unleash your voice on Pickaxe, where free speech reigns. Join us quarter one of 2024 and be a part of a movement that's reshaping social media. Sign up today at pickaxe.com and claim your space on the platform where your voice truly matters. Again, go to pickaxe.com and sign up today. Folks, listen up. I've got something crucial to share with you today. In this uncertain world, you need to be prepared for anything, especially when it comes to your health. That's where The Wellness Company comes in, offering you peace of mind in a box with their medical emergency kit. Picture this. You're faced with a medical emergency and you need quick, effective treatment. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is like having a strategic arsenal of life-saving medications right at your fingertips. From proven treatments like ivermectin to generic Z-Pax and amoxicillin, this kit has got you covered. But that's not all. Every kit comes with a medical emergency guidebook, ensuring you have the knowledge to use these medications safely and effectively. It's like having a medical professional right there with you when you need it most. And here's the kicker. Use code FFN to get 10% off your medical emergency kit at twc.health/FFN. That's right, folks. 10% off, peace of mind in a box. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your medical emergency kit today and be ready for whatever comes your way. Stay safe, stay prepared with The Wellness Company. Again, use code FFN to get 10% off your medical emergency kit at twc.health/FFN.
That would be very interesting information. I want to get to deep state stuff with everything that's been coming out here in a minute, but you caught me there with you said that DeSantis wouldn't be your top choice. This is a crowd, my audience. We are very, very much loyal to Donald Trump. If he runs in 2024, nobody else should even try to. They should just stop right there, support the president. Let's take this country back. But if he doesn't run, you said that DeSantis wouldn't be your top choice. If you don't mind me asking, who would be your top choice or some top potential choices?
Well, look, I'm a student of history, and I recognize that in 1952, we drafted General Dwight Eisenhower to be president. And he was a great president. We had unprecedented peace and prosperity under Ike. Therefore, I would go out and try to draft General Michael Flynn for president. See, I want somebody from outside of politics, like Donald Trump, somebody who comes from a different discipline, not elected politics, not Washington. General Flynn is a man of the Constitution. He's a man of the Bible. He's a Christian. He is a solid man of destiny, in my opinion. And he has what it takes. He demonstrated the toughness that it takes because he's still with us today. Just as they targeted me for destruction, they targeted him for his destruction. I got to know him very well in that crucible. We knew each other by phone and text a full year before we ever met because we were both being put to the test in the same federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. And I can tell you, this guy is tough. Yeah, he pled guilty because they threatened to indict his son.
Right.
That's how vicious these Mueller thugs are. But at the end of the day, Mike Flynn decided to fight and he fought for his life and he won. And I know he would fight for this country that way. So I would seek to draft General Flynn for the Republican nomination. I've talked to him about that. You know, he doesn't feel a burning need to be president. That's precisely why I'd like him to be president.
There you go. That's probably his best quality.
I don't want a person who has to be president because they want to be somebody. I want a candidate who wants to be president because they want to do something. And I would seek to draft him for the presidency in the event that Donald Trump does not run. I have seen him out on the hustings campaigning for election integrity. I saw him campaigning for the president's reelection. I've gotten very close to he and his entire family. These are some of the finest patriots, the finest people that you can imagine. They're just really fine people. And like me, General Flynn is deeply concerned at what he sees going on in Washington, where essentially the U.S. Constitution is being suspended. And our institutions like the Department of Justice and our court system are being used now politically to harass citizens who don't agree with Joe Biden's political narrative. So I would seek to draft General Flynn, and I think I would be successful at that.
Do you think he would be a viable option for number two for VP if Trump wins or Trump runs?
You have a fundamental problem here, and that is the Electoral College will allow you to have a president and vice president from the same state. But if you do, you forfeit the electoral votes of Florida in the first round of the Electoral College.
I didn't think of that.
You can't afford to do that. That's why the ticket cannot be Trump DeSantis, nor could it be Trump Flynn. All three of those gentlemen live in the Sunshine State.
I had totally forgotten about that. That's so true. That's my top two choices. Say again.
So that's why I'm Roger Stone.
That's why you're Roger Stone.
I'm a veteran of 11 presidential campaigns, and I've thought this through. Now, of course, Donald Trump could move to New Jersey and pay income taxes. How likely do you think that is if he wanted General Flynn on the ticket or Ron DeSantis on the ticket? I think that's unlikely. The Sunshine State is the last bastion of freedom. This is the freest state in the nation. I would have thought that Florida would fall before Texas, but I no longer feel that. I see the hard left coming on heavy in Texas. Ted Cruz, not exactly the most charismatic guy you ever met. You know why people take an instantaneous dislike to Ted Cruz? They're only saving time. I love watching Ted Cruz roast these liberals on the Senate floor, roast these liberals, in the hearings. I think he's great. I wish Donald Trump had put Ted Cruz on the Supreme Court instead of that weak-kneed rhino that he appointed, Brett Kavanaugh. I said that at the time. I wrote about it at the time. Unfortunately, the president chose Kavanaugh, and of course, I supported the president's nominee. But it is not lost on me that the three Trump appointees to the Supreme Court have not said a word about election integrity, have not been willing to examine the anomalies and irregularities in the last election. So when people say the last election is stolen, I think that's probable. I think it's likely. What I think is unfortunate is we've never gotten any court or any legislature or any judicial body or the Senate or the House to actually look at the results and make an analysis. But there's enough evidence of fraud that it's a reasonable supposition that the election was stolen.
At the very least, you would think it would be worthy of further investigation in official channels. Instead, it's always just the lowest levels of law enforcement, state governments, and independent journalists
that are actually out there trying to find this. And it's just not enough. It's just enough.
And the real question is, the Republican National Committee under Ron Romney raised an unprecedented amount of money. So why is it that General Flynn and patriots like Patrick Byrne have to go raise the money for an audit in Arizona? Where's the Republican National Committee? Were they so busy counting money that they didn't have any money to spend while they watched the Democrats go into the swing states one by one and loosen the election laws to make the fraud possible? But Ronna Romney, the head of the Republican National Committee, who's a rhino, did nothing. Folks, do not send a penny to the Republican National Committee. Do not send a penny to the National Republican Congressional Committee. They use that money to defeat conservative congressional candidates in the primaries. Do not give a penny to Rick Scott and the National Republican Senatorial Committee. They use that money to reelect senators like James Lankford. James Lankford voted to certify the election of Joe Biden. He wouldn't vote for Merrick Garland for the Supreme Court, but he voted to confirm him as Attorney General. And then he issued an apology to Black Lives Matter because he said questioning the results of the election would be racist. Wouldn't be racist. It would be honest is what it would be. This is the same James Lankford who's for open borders, who has no problem with the current policy of the country being flooded with illegals, bringing drugs, bringing crime, bringing disease, trafficking children. This is the same James Lankford in Oklahoma, the senior senator, the junior senator, who voted against a full Senate investigation into the deaths of Americans in Benghazi under Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. This is your prototypical rhino, Republican in name only. But the National Republican Senatorial Committee will do everything they can to get him reelected. Fortunately, there's a great challenger for him, pastor and businessman Jackson Lawmeyer, who's already raised $500,000, who's quick out of the gate, picking up the endorsement of the Oklahoma Republican State Party chairman. General Flynn endorsed Jackson Lawmeyer a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to Oklahoma to endorse him this weekend. This guy is one of the most dynamic young candidates I've ever seen. He's only 30 years old, but he's very articulate. He's a family man. He's a businessman. He's a pastor. And he's the right man to go to Washington and take on the rhinos. JD, the problem in this country is not the rabid, drooling socialist Democrats. We know who they are. We know what their agenda is. Our problem are the weak-kneed, feckless, gutless, lily-livered, white wine-swilling, country club-belonging, moderate Republicans, establishment Republicans. They're in politics to line their pockets and the pockets of their friends. They're not there because they believe in conservative principles. Oh, they talk about that when they're back home. They talk about immigration when they're back home. They talk about all these hot button issues when they're home and they need to raise money. But then they go to Washington and they vote the way Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy tell them to. And these guys don't want to engage the American left. They don't want to disrupt the socialists while they ruin the country. I use Oklahoma in this case just as an example. But I believe the most important thing we need to do is clean house in our own party. Better a snake in the grass, a liberal Democrat, a socialist Democrat, than an ass in the bosom. It's time to clean house in the party of Lincoln.
It absolutely is. And it's funny, or I shouldn't say it's funny. It's actually quite sad that all three of the organizations you mentioned, you know, the NRCC, the NRSC, the Republican National Committee, all three of them are able to have record fundraising right now. But what is all of their fundraising about right now? What do they invoke? With every email that I receive, with every piece of mailer that I get, it all talks about Trump, 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 Trump. They will stab him in the back. Then they will do whatever they can to get rhinos in office, but they have no problem with raising funds off of his name. It's very despicable. And I will look into, will you say one more time, the name of the...
Jackson Lawmeyer, Lahmeyer, Jackson Lawmeyer. This guy is really dynamic. This is the most incredible campaign I've seen. Just completely grassroots. He's raised $500,000, but you've never gotten an email from him. You've never gotten a text message from him. He raised it all on the ground in Oklahoma from individual citizens who are disgusted with the establishment Republican representation they're getting from Senator Lankford. In fact, Jackson Lawmeyer challenged Senator Lankford to a series of debates, And Lankford just looked at him and said, that will never happen. What's wrong with the senator? Is he, can he not defend his record? So I think it's actually JacksonForSenate.com, I believe. But you can find it. Jackson Lawmeier, Lahmeyer. One of the most dynamic young candidates I've ever seen.
You know, if you are listening to this on just the audio version on Apple Podcasts or wherever, you're not listening on Spotify because they banned this. Long story. But but if you're listening to us on any of those and not watching the video, then you're missing the great and talented and very patriotic Mike Lindell. He is actually asleep behind me. I can see him right there. He's laying on a MyPillow. On an actual MyPillow. I know it's hard. Anybody who's gone to MyPillow.com knows that he's been doing a lot more than pillows lately. We actually have a MyPillow dog bed for our wonderful, wonderful canine. And she's gone through a lot of dog beds in her life. This is by far, hands down, her favorite. She sleeps a lot more, okay, which is good because she's a very hyperactive dog under normal circumstances. I can thank Mike Lindell and MyPillow.com for that. But I want to talk to you guys today about the offers. Okay, there's a lot of people out there who are saying, you know, get the lowest possible price on this, that, or the other by using this code. Even, you know, look, here's the reality. Because of cancel culture, Mike Lindell and MyPillow have chosen to go to the various conservative networks, podcasts, websites, networks, whatever, and give everybody a promo code. These promo codes are the same, period. They offer the same discounts. I don't care. You know, Mike Lindell, I've been on his show before. He's been on my show before. He has his own code. That code, I've tested this, that code gives you the exact same discount that you would get if you put in code NOQ, N as in Nancy, O-Q. Using the NOQ code helps us here at the J.D. Rucker Show. And
traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I would greatly appreciate it if you would choose us. Okay, we got Christmas around the corner. We've got just lots of reasons to get my pillows. If you use that code, you are helping us directly. And as a listener of the show, watcher, viewer, whatever, it would behoove us all if you would help to keep the show up and running and alive and not going into any other future hiatuses. Is that a word? I don't know, but we're going to use it. We're rolling with it. Just pretend like there's no script and go with it because there's no script. NOQ is the code that you use. Go to MyPillow.com, put in that code, and you'll get the maximum discount, the highest possible discount. But most importantly, you'll be helping us. You'll be helping this guy, okay, this patriot, this awesome guy, an all-American company at MyPillow, and, of course, Knock Report and the J.D. Rucker Show. God bless you, and sleep well like this guy. So far, I have not disagreed with anything that you said, which is amazing because I can't go an interview without disagreeing with something that somebody says. Let's see. Let's try to find something. Let's talk about the deep state. Let's talk about everything that's been happening, the revelations that have been coming out with Russia. Oh, he's taking his jacket off, folks.
I'm warming up now. We're getting into my face. No, look, we learned that back in 2017, I went public and I said the Trump White House had been infiltrated by a Soros mole. A woman named Fiona Hill was on the staff of the National Security Council, working directly for H.R. McMaster, who was the globalist who Trump had unfortunately appointed to be his national security advisor. She was trying to push the State Department to lean on the Hungarian government to ease up on their efforts to block George Soros from taking over the country. And I got wind of this and I outed her. And of course, she went on national TV with Leslie Stahl in an incredible deer in the headlights interview saying, I'm not even political. I don't know why Roger Stone and Alex Jones attacked me. I don't even know what a globalist is. Really? Lady, you were the editor of globalist.com. And now, last week, in John Durham's indictment, what do we find out? Fiona Hill was the woman who took the Russian agent writing the Steele dossier and put them in touch with Chuck Dolan, operative for Hillary Clinton. This criminal trail leads right to Hillary's door. Now, I don't know whether John Durham will do his job, because if he does do his job, he has to go to the head of the criminal conspiracy. If you want to kill a snake, you cut off the snake's head. Hillary Clinton is the head of the snake. She is the capo cilantro of this. And that's where the criminal trail leads. It reads like a book, but I called it back in 2017. So here's what we know. The Steele dossier, which is the document that the Justice Department under Rod Rosenstein, the ultimate rat, used to rationalize the investigation into Donald Trump for Russian collusion, was a fraud, was a fabricated fraud. That's fabricated evidence. The CrowdStrikes report. This is the report in which the Democratic National Committee, who would not allow the FBI to inspect their computer servers, they claim that this report proved that the Russians had hacked the DNC and that that data had been given to WikiLeaks. None of that happened. When I went to trial, I could have proved through forensic evidence and expert testimony that there was no online hack of the DNC, but the judge would not allow that. The CrowdStrike report, which I asked at trial be declassified so the people could see it, is still classified. But thanks to Rick Grenell, the acting director of information under Donald Trump, we have the testimony before the House Select Committee in which the head of CrowdStrike admitted, no, we never had any proof whatsoever that the Russians hacked the DNC. It was just a claim. So the two fundamental underlying documents that are used to rationalize the greatest political dirty trick in American history, the Russian collusion hoax, are both frauds. Therefore, the people who perpetrated this fraud, former FBI Director James Comey, former CIA Director and radical Muslim convert John Brennan, Rod Rosenstein, who sat before Congress and said, I didn't authorize the investigation into Roger Stone, except for on October 16th, we have his signature on the document in which he did exactly that. So he lied to Congress. Wait a minute, that's what they charged me with. But even though misstatements I made to Congress were completely immaterial, irrelevant, they hid no underlying crime. So when is the FBI going to storm Rosenstein's home at 6 o'clock in the morning with 29 heavily armed FBI agents? When are they going to trot his wife out, parade her for the CNN cameras in her night clothes? When is that happening? I think the answer is no time soon.
I hope that you're wrong on that. I hope that something does happen. You know, and I don't get me wrong. I have been hot and cold on John Durham for the last 2 years. Sometimes it's like, man, this guy seems like he can do it. Then other times, like, where'd he go? What's he doing? Do you think that I know that the actual conspiracy, the actual collusion, the crimes that were committed go all the way to the top. And as you said, the top stops at Hillary Clinton, as far as we know. But do you think that we've reached the top of what's actually going to happen? I mean, the people that have already been indicted, the people that have already been charged, are they the ones that, is that it, or is there more to it?
Well, I think he's given us the entire roadmap. It's in this most recent indictment. But he worked for Merrick Garland. So will he do his duty, or will he be politicized? Will he step aside? Everything I've ever read about John Durham indicates that he's a man of principle, takes his job as a prosecutor honestly, and that he's a man of integrity. If that's true, then he's going to have to indict. He's going to have to question Chuck Dolan, and Chuck Dolan will roll on the Clintons like that, and we'll finally get the truth. You know, when it looked like I was going to prison and she was going scot-free, people laughed and said, well, there's karma. No, here's karma for you folks. I'm still alive, and that bitch is going to prison. Sorry.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. One more quick question before I get to the final question. The quick question is, okay, we know now that there was no hack of the DNC servers per se. Do we know for sure how they got the emails?
Well, we know, here's what we do know, based on forensic evidence and the download times. We know that the data was stolen from the DNC, but based on the download times, experts have told me that it's far more likely that it was downloaded internally to some kind of portable drive and presumably taken out the back door. Now, we don't know for a certainty who took it. We do know that there are certain suspects in terms of who may have taken it. We don't have definitive proof, because no definitive investigation was ever really done. But here's what we can say with a certainty. There was never any online hack, period. Anybody who says otherwise is a jackal, is a lying fraudster. That would be many at the New York Times and the Washington Post. There's this guy, Mike Schmidt, at the New York Times. He won a Pulitzer Prize for his fiction writing regarding the Russian collusion. Now, either the Pulitzer Committee takes the trophy away from him, or we're going to show up and take it away from him ourselves. This is a matter of principle. If he has any integrity at all, he should give up the trophy. He should give up the award because he didn't earn it. Everything Michael Schmidt wrote was a lie, a fabricated lie. Folks, he's not a journalist. He's not a reporter. He's a distortionist. I don't know how he looks himself in the mirror. But if you see him walking down the street, there's nobody throwing crap at him. They only throw crap at me. You know, these people drag your reputation through the mud. And now that it is proven definitively that there was no Russian collusion, when is Mr. Schmidt going to write that for the New York Times? We take the New York Times here at our house. You know why? Toilet paper's gotten really expensive.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. StoneDefenseFund.com. My final question for you, sir, and this is one arguably the most important, because I think that we're, you know, we lean on you so much, but you've gone through so much over the years, over the decades, especially recently, especially things that you've been going through now. What does the future hold for the Stone family? What are your plans going forward?
Well, the worst thing about this is that shortly after I was pardoned, my wife of 30 years was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, very aggressive cancer. This came as a total shock to us because my wife was my rock during the trial. She's the one that held the family together while I was fighting to raise the money to save my life, fight in court. She's an enormously balanced and courageous woman, very brave, very healthy, never smoked, never drank heavily, very careful about her diet, exercised regularly. A very healthy person, a very balanced person. And this came as a terrible shock to us. And without going into too much detail, you know, the cancer industry in this country is exactly that. It's a money-making industry. And therefore, she chose a more homeopathic and holistic route to healing, which I'm happy to tell you so far, with the help of God, she is healing. She's doing extraordinarily well. And I'm convinced that she will have a complete recovery. But the very best cancer therapies, all natural cancer therapies, vitamin infusions of vitamin C, D, B17, specially tailored CBD and THC that are designed specifically as anti-cancer agents, blood oxygenation, certain types of exotic mushrooms. These things are not inexpensive. They're really not, particularly the peptides, which are really different forms of human growth hormone, particularly effective in healing those with cancer. That costs us about $28,000 a month. None of that is covered by insurance. So if folks want to help us in that fight, go to StoneFamilyFund.com, StoneFamilyFund.com. My wife is winning the war against cancer, even as we speak. She's stronger and feeling better every day. But this is PTSD. This is a gift from Robert Mueller and his thugs. This is the result of 2.5 years of unrelenting stress, not knowing whether I was going to be unfairly convicted and sent to prison. Who would support my wife? We lost everything financially. We have nothing. We're in the rebuilding phase. But I always said it didn't matter to me if I lost my home or my car or my savings or my insurance. As long as I had my wife and my God, I had everything. Now she's struggling for her life. And until that is settled, I can't tell you what my next move is, other than to say that Donald Trump is my first, second, and third choice for president of the United States. And if he doesn't run, yes, I'm going to draft General Flynn. and I'm going to make him president, whether he likes it or not.
Amen, brother. Amen to that. I will be praying for your wife and you and your family, because this is an important time for you guys. You've done so much for this country, and now we need to do as much as we can for you. Stone Defense Fund, stonefamilyfund.com as well.
That's
Is that
correct.
What you said? Stonefamilyfund.com, stonedefensefund.com. Guys, get your credit cards out, as many as you can. Go there. Let's make this happen, because we have a true American hero who still has some fighting to do. Mr. Roger Stone.
Amazing to me is how many people, I think correctly, don't want to put their financial information on the internet.
Sure.
So for those folks who want to mail a check, you can make it to Stone Family Fund or Stone Legal to Fund. The Stone Defense Fund cannot use the money for any other purpose other than the legal fight. So you can make a check either to Stone Family Fund or Stone Defense Fund and send it to 1007 North Federal Highway, Box 405, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33304. That's 1007 North Federal Highway, number 405, Box 405, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33304. A lot of conservatives don't like to use their credit cards on the internet, don't want to give their financial information. Folks, we need your help too. You can mail a check. We appreciate more than anything else your prayers. Your prayers are more important than your dollars, but the dollars matter as well. God bless you.
God bless you and God bless America. Mr. Roger Stone, sir, thank you so much for spending your time with us today.
Great to be here.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.